The word the Lord gave me tonight for you guys was kind of a tough one to me. I'm getting a sense that He doesn't want me to deliver it to you the way I got it. Because not all of us have a heart to take it that way. But it's truth and it's necessary. It's necessary for your benefit. And for the benefit of those around you. I would venture to say that some of us, if not all of us, have people in our lives that have hurt us, wounded us very badly, disappointed us, and let us down. We've had possibly memories and hurts and pains that go all the way back into our childhoods that haunt us. At times, we have victory. We are new creations. We walk by faith and not by sight. But I risk saying that we always don't have victory because of some of those memories, some of that pain that we carry around. If we're real honest with ourselves, that pain can come and trip us up. When we least expect it. It's not a pain that you necessarily want to hang on to. You may not even be aware of what's causing the pain. But the pain I want to talk about tonight is the pain of unforgiveness. Yeah. It's a good one for me too. You know, the Lord had a lot to say about unforgiveness. And if you would study the Word, boy, I've got a whole barrage of scriptures here that I'm probably not going to get into tonight. But the Bible has a lot to say about walking in grace and forgiveness and love towards one another. If we're honest, we don't always achieve that. We're not always able to live up to that measure, and that's okay. There's grace and mercy for that. What I want to get to tonight, we're in a new year, 2011. Pastor Bill's hearing it, others are hearing it. This is going to be the year of heaven for us. God said in the last days that He would pour out His Spirit on all flesh. Sons and daughters would prophesy, miracles would happen. We would see things like we had never seen in our entire existence because we're at the time. Christ is soon to return. It is a very, very ripe time for the kingdom. The harvest is great right now. There are so many people out there that need to know and hear what we have, what we've been given. We need to go to the very flames of hell and snatch some of these people out, as Paul said, if it's at all possible. That requires enormous love, enormous selflessness. That's why we've got to be free from any hindering pain, any roots of unforgiveness that is in our lives. In Matthew 6:9-15 is the Lord's Prayer. I know many of you know this. But verse 12 says, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." 13 is a hard one. No, 14. And I'm reading out of King James. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Let's go to Matthew 18:23. Matthew 18:23. Yes. Matthew 18:23. I'm sorry, I'll try to speak louder. Okay, 18:23. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him $1 million. This debtor couldn't pay. So the king ordered that he, his wife, his children, and everything that he had be sold to pay the debt. But the man fell down before the king and begged him, "Oh, sir, be patient with me and I will pay it all." Then the king was filled with pity for him and he released him and forgave his debt. What a marvelous thing to have happen. It reminds you of what Christ did for us. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few $1,000. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little bit more time. "Be patient and I will pay it, he pleaded. But the creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and jailed until the debt could be paid in full. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him what had happened. Then the king called the man who had forgiven and said, "You evil servant, I forgave you of that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I've had mercy on you?" Then the angry king sent the man to prison until he had paid every penny. This is hard, but Jesus said, "This is what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters in your heart." When we think of people who have committed sin against us, it's often easy to justify holding them in indebtedness to us. In other words, they owe us something. They need to pay a debt somehow. God said to release them and forgive them as He has done us. That's the essential message. I think sometimes we hold on to certain unforgiveness and pain because we secretly don't think God's going to really deal with what they did. But I have to ask you this. When Christ received us, me, you, and our condition of pain and sin, which one of our sins was lesser of a sin than those that we won't let off the hook? Okay? The very grace that we have been so privileged to receive, the love, the tenderness, the blotted out past, the blotted out sins of the present, the future, through faith in that blood. Are we possibly nullifying His grace in our life by not extending that to those who have sinned against us? And we say, "Richard, you don't know what they did to me. You don't know how bad they hurt me." And it doesn't look like God's going to deal with it. Number one, the Lord will have a judgment for everyone who has not accepted salvation, redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ. I just want you to look at what the alternative is. We were sinners, and by grace, we were brought into the kingdom. But by the grace of God, we would not know of this great salvation and end up in the same place, eternal damnation, eternal flames. We're not talking just going to a debtor's prison. We're talking eternal punishment and sorrow, separation from God and agonizing flames forever and ever and ever. You know, I was thinking about that today. And I was thinking, gee, my worst enemies, I might put them in an oven of fire like that for a couple weeks and then pull them out. You repented yet? Yes, yes, I'll do anything. I'll do anything. Get me out of here. You know, okay, let me tell you about Jesus. The very grace that saved us from those same flames, and that Jesus was slaughtered on a cross for our benefit, gives us no justification, no ground to stand on. We must forgive our debtors whether they repent or not. Whether they ever say that they're sorry or not. In such a great salvation, we have tremendous benefits that goes with this. We're new creations. Old things are passed away. Why do we hold on to the pain then? Why do we hold on to the memories? Why do we hold on to the unforgiveness when we ourselves have been changed by such an amazing grace that has saved us and has given us all these precious promises to be able to live by the divine nature and escape the corruption of this world, it says in Peter. We don't have to hold on to the pain. Not the pain of the past, not the pain of the present, not the pain of the future. Everything is yes and amen. We're new. We're new. We have freedom. Now, this message was specifically for me in that I admit that I have habitually, over the years, I've been a Christian for 30 years and I have habitually held on to resentment and bitterness, anger, and I can tell you it's benefited me no good at all. The Lord does not, He's unable to work with that because I nullify His grace in my life into those areas where I refuse to give grace to others. The way I see it, it's probably the only thing, unforgiveness. Because our forgiveness hinged on such a great, enormous event of God sending His Son into the world to save the world, that's why it is unforgiveness is He commands us to love, to forgive. Let me go to Psalms 103, please. I thought this was really cool. As Matt was preaching today out of the Old Testament, you know, there is some really neat stuff. And although we're under a better covenant, it's amazing to see the preparation and the foundation of that covenant being developed and created thousands of years earlier. Psalms 103, 1 through 14. Praise the Lord, I tell myself with my whole heart. I will praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, I tell myself. This is David encouraging himself in the Lord and praising God. Praise the Lord, I tell myself, and never forget the good things He does for me. He forgives all my sins. He heals all my diseases. He ransomed me from death. Gee, sounds like what Jesus did for us. He surrounds me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord gives righteousness and justice to all who are treated unfairly. He reveals His character to Moses and His deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious. He is slow to get angry and full of unfailing love. I'm reading out of a New Living Translation, by the way. He will not constantly accuse us nor remain angry forever. He has not punished us for all our sins, nor does He deal with us as we deserve. That can definitely is an absolute truth for the believer, not only for David, but under the new covenant, under Christ. None of us have suffered or have been punished for what we deserve. Not when we came to Christ. Not after we came to Christ. You know, sometimes I do things unknowingly in the flesh. I say, my God, that's just amazing. That's such a rotten, stinking attitude. And You've cleansed that and forgiven. I've looked at You in faith and I've asked forgiveness. It's an amazing thing. You know, John 3:16 says it all. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that those who should believe in Him should have everlasting life. 17 says, for God did not send His Son to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Ephesians 2:8 says, it's by grace you are saved through faith, not of ourselves. It's a gift from God. When I ponder the sins for which I have been forgiven, it's enough to shut my mouth against the sins of others for the rest of my life. Jesus said, you must love your neighbor as yourself. The yourself is what's real important here. Not only do we need to forgive one another and our neighbors, we need to forgive ourselves as well. That's loving yourself. You may say, Pastor Richard, yeah, I've got some of that. I've got some pain. I've got some things that habitually come up. Not sure what to do about it. It's an act of faith in everything to get every good thing from God. He does it. You respond. If there's anyone here that has any bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness in their heart, respond to the Lord when I give an altar call here. If anyone needs to forgive themselves and receive that forgiveness, come. Be forgiven. Feel it. Drink in His love. Make a choice tonight to let everyone off the hook, including yourself. Don't beat yourself up for having that pain, for having those resentful feelings. The Lord understands. He just wants you to receive His grace. You need greater grace to overcome that. You need greater love in your life. Let yourself soak in His love and be filled to overflowing. If anyone here doesn't know the love of Jesus Christ, I would invite you up also to receive His love, receive eternal life, to receive that assurance of His love. I'm opening up the altar right now for whatever need you may have. If you don't want to be prayed for personally, just come to the altar and kneel. Pastor Matt and others will be here for you. So I'm closing the service now, and I would invite you to come up and let the love, the Lord heal your hurts.